Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. We design, craft and install beautiful kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
So whether you're saving up for your dream home or just hoping to start a rainy day fund, managing your money is key for everybody. And financial planner Owen McGee is with me here in the studio with his tried and tested budgeting advice. Owen, hello.
Good morning,
Claire. You don't like budgets per se, do you?
I hate the word. To be honest, it just conjures up all these negative emotions in me, and I'm sure everybody else. Budgets, right?
Like a diet, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And that's exactly what it's like. And I just think that you can take much more control over your money if you just change the language you use. And I think spending rules is a much better word to use. So, because when you start to use the word spending rules, it's really about the relationship you have with your money. Okay, so if you think about it, you've got a choice to make. Either you can control your money or it can control you. And you're in one of those fields at the moment. And generally what happens is if you're in the field where your money controls you and you feel it's out of control and you certainly have no control over it, that can hurt and it can be painful and it can rent a lot of space in your head. To fix it can be painful and can rent a lot of space in your head. But when you get to the other side of it, it's generally a lifelong thing. Once you crack it and you're on top of it, now you're the boss and you can control the money and you can decide what happens. And therefore, it just removes a huge amount of stress out of us. And oftentimes the stresses are just caused by the fact that we get these, what we call financial surprises, and we haven't budgeted for them, right?
Yeah.
And the financial surprises are things like back to school.
Or a new tyre.
Or Christmas. And you know what? Back to school and new tyres and Christmas all happen probably once a year, but certainly with Christmas and back to school, they happen once a year. The new tyre may be a little bit longer than that, but they're not actually financial surprises. That's just what we tell ourselves in order to make ourselves feel better about the fact that we weren't prepared for it.
So where do we start then with all of this?
I think one of the things, there's a couple of things that we do need to get the fundamentals right. And we'll talk about kind of conscious spending and subconscious spending in a second. But what I would like to address, first of all, is this whole idea of being the boss. And what I'd love people to do, if you're sitting at home at the moment and you're listening to this and you're thinking to yourself, what's the first step I could make? Have a look at your bank account today, right? And in your bank account, how much money have you got? And work out, when is the next time I'm going to have more money coming in? Whatever that payment is, assuming it's your employment income is going to come in, your salary is going to come in. So what stuff do I have to pay for between now and my next payday? And what is the most important things? What are the things I have to pay for? Maybe my rent or my mortgage or my groceries. And what are the things I want to pay for? Like a night out, and this is where you're going to go, oh, and you're squeezing the life out of people. But what are the things that you have to pay for, and what are the things that you'd like to pay for? And differentiate between the two of them. And take the money that you have in your bank account and give every single euro a job, right? Because now you're the boss. You're dishing out the jobs. So that 700 euro or 1700 euro is my rent, and that's the job that 1700 euro has, okay? And that's my groceries. And now, when life happens, you're the boss, so you change the jobs. So you might say, oh, the tyres went on the car. I wasn't expecting that. I'm going to have to pay for that. Where's that going to come from? Okay, I'm going to have to pull back on the weekend away, or I'm going to have to pull back on something else. And you decide, where am I taking that money from? Instead of just mindlessly paying for it and then realising with a week to go to payday, I've no money left. And that's where people, like, I love the phrase. I actually really love the phrase that says, I find every month I run out of money before I get to the end of the month.
Yeah.
I have more months than I have money.
Too much month at the end of the money,
yes,
isn't that
exactly.
It?
Yes, exactly. And really what you could, by taking control of it, by looking forward to saying, what are the things I absolutely know are going to come out? What are the surprises? But when those surprises come, you also have to be conscious about what you do with the surprises. So I would often talk to, you and I would have mentioned it before, the idea of a buffer. And a buffer is your financial security blanket, okay? And the idea of a buffer is, you should have somewhere between three months take-home pay and 6 months take-home pay, depending on what the makeup of your household is. If you're a single-income household, with kind of maybe a freelancer or somebody who's a tradesperson or somebody whose job means that they paid loads of money this month and nothing for a couple of months and then another big job comes in and the money is kind of erratic, it's not steady, then I'd be saying 6 months. And if you kind of have two people with a steady income coming in, 3 months is probably enough, okay? And people who have a financial security blanket, what they do is they reach for the buffer when something goes wrong. People who don't have a buffer reach for the credit card when something goes wrong. Or something goes right, by the way.
And
right?
Is the buffer your savings?
No, it's separate from your savings. This is your financial security blanket. It helps you sleep at night, okay? But the important thing to do with the buffer, though, is when you reach into it, no different than you've just become the boss of your money. You've given every euro in your bank account a job from now till the next payday. What you need to do when you have to dip into your buffer or when you get hit with a financial surprise, you need to learn from that. So with the buffer, the first thing you do is you replace the money, like you would the credit card. You get it back in there as soon as you can. But you also need to look, let's take your example of the tyres. Let's assume your tyres were 480 euro. And you think to yourself, I remember this time last year, just before back to school, I had to pay for tyres then too. So it's likely that this time next year, I'm going to have to pay for tyres again. So rather than just saying, oh, I'll wait till next year and deal with it then, put 40 quid a month aside and put it aside so this time next year.
If you have it.
If you have it. But you know what? If you don't, put a tenner aside, put 20 quid, put anything aside to try and get ahead of it. So this time next year, it's not going on the credit card if you don't have your buffer or you're not reaching for somebody else.
Do you like this idea of having little pots, whether it's your online account or some banks have it, yeah, where it's all named. So car insurance.
Yeah.
Tires, yeah. Back to school.
I love it. And that's a really important thing to get your head around. Like traditionally, people always use the Irish mammy, right? But traditionally, the Irish mammy would have had 10 envelopes in the kitchen. And when the money came in once a week, typically at that stage, you slotted the money in. One was called groceries and one was called something else. And it just slotted in. And those envelopes got put to one side. And when that bill came up, they went and did it. In today's world, it's slightly different, right? So in today's world, you can still do that. And some people still go by that system with physical envelopes hidden in the kitchen. But we now have pockets and spaces and wallets, depending what bank you're banking with, and particularly the fintech banks. And you can just go in and change the name of a subfolder of your main bank account. You're not opening up a new bank account for all of these. You can just open a subfolder. And actually, the tires is a perfect example. You can set it up that once a month for the next 12 months to move 40 euros into that pocket or space or wallet, just automatically. And this is one of the things, if you really want to get on top of your spending rules or your budget, you really have to try and make it automated as best you can. And this is what I'm talking about, the pain at the start to get you to the other side where you're now in control of your money. It's that pain of setting up the processes, getting the automation done, that when I get paid, this automatically happens and this gets sucked out of my bank account and goes over here and then it fills all the pockets or spaces.
But what if you see a nice pair of shoes and you're in the shop and you move the money out of your new tires folder?
Yes, well, you're the boss and you've taken control of that and you've reallocated that money to something else that in that moment was very important to you, right? In that moment. And that's the important thing. One of the things I get a lot of feedback on whenever I mention it online is my 72-hour rule. So the 72-hour rule basically says, if you want to buy something and you're kind of wondering, should I get this? No, I really want it. I'm going to get it. Put it back. 72 hours later, if you still want it, it was probably something that was going to add value to your life in the first place. Mm-hmm. It was probably something that maybe you deserved in
but
the first place.
Chances are you're going to be gone off it in 72 hours, which is why
you have no idea.
That rule in place.
And actually, if listeners want to text in and tell us their experience with the 72-hour rule, because I've been talking about this for years, generally the experience that happens is we get a situation where 24 hours later, someone finds something different. I'm not saying cheaper, just better or more suited to what they were trying to achieve, right? And they put that on the 72-hour rule. Or else 96 hours later, they go, oh, I completely forgot about that. So they didn't want it in the first place.
Yeah.
Now, there are some people who get to the 72 hours. You're not allowed, I should have set the rules at the start, you're not allowed to set a reminder on your phone for 72 hours, right? Because that defeats the purpose, right? But after 72 hours, you remember and go, I'm going to get that. And that was probably something, because what's happened there is you've drained all the impact of the marketing department getting into your head or the impulse buy is gone and you're actually making a decision for yourself. And that's really important. And sometimes people will say to me, but what happens if after 72 hours it's gone and it's no longer there and it's out of stock? Claire, that's destiny. Tough. Right? Just move on with life, right?
It's the stars.
Yeah. The stars are just aligned and you have extra money in your bank account. It is important just to remind our listeners that we're not talking about bread and milk when we're talking about the 72-hour rule. We're talking about these things that you'd like to buy. We're not talking about the essentials. And that brings us back to another point, though. And this is one of the key things that you have to get right when it comes to your relationship with money. And that's the identification or recognizing what's the difference between stuff that adds value to my life and stuff that doesn't add value to my life. And the stuff that adds value to your life might be something that lasted the 72-hour rule test. That was something that I really enjoyed and it was a pleasure to have. And my life feels better because I have this object in my life now. But it's recognizing the subconscious that makes it very different. And the subconscious stuff is you walk into a shop to buy a Diet Coke and you come out with a Diet Coke and a packet of crisps. you went in to get the Diet Coke, but the marketing department got into your heads, oh, you like those crisps, just buy those crisps. You have the money to buy those crisps, and you walk out with these things. And that's a simple example of stuff that we do all the time in our life. Like, you sometimes you buy a pair of shoes just because you walk by the shop, or you bought a coffee because you that's what you do every time you walk by that barista. Or there's loads of things in our life, and it's not about stripping out the joy out of life. It's about recognising that this stuff actually isn't adding any value. And by recognising you strip it out...
just being conscious about what you're doing, you know. I just want to bring you this message from a listener who's 34. They say, I live alone, I'm renting. I'm paid $3,000 a month, but I've no savings whatsoever. I don't go out, I don't do anything, I've no car. I'm still struggling every month. I'm not sure what else I can do to change things at this stage. It's a serious stress every single month, and any advice would be appreciated.
Yeah, I really think what that person needs to do is they're renting. Obviously, most people are renting close to their job or somewhere that they need to be close to their job. Rent is just sucks the life and the money out of people.
Well, $2,000 a month was the average that we saw yesterday from the daft.ie report. Now, I hope with that person being paid $3,000 a month that they're sharing that burden with somebody, but they may not be.
You know? And this is where the issue comes in, because this is the difference between want and need. That's a person who's just describing, I need to pay my rent, right? I'm in a position that this is the rent that I've been landed with. I need to pay it. I need to be able to sustain a job. I'm at €3,000. One of the things that person would actually, and I know it's easy to put this down on paper than to actually implement it, right? But there is lots of research out there that says even having a small buffer, I'm talking about 3 months or 6 months, even having a small buffer of a couple of €100 will make the difference between the amount of financial anxiety you're going to feel on a month-to-month basis. And what that person, interestingly enough, what I would be, the type of thing I'd be trying to achieve with that person is looking at all of their expenditure and really going through it with them. And they can do this for themselves. Take out your bank statements. Go back over the last 3 months. Stick it into Excel. You don't have to be an Excel genius for this, right? Every bank now at this stage will allow you to download your bank statements. Literally just go to, usually it's column C, hit C, and it'll give you a description and it'll join them all together. And look at all the different line items that you're spending money on. And try and identify at that stage, this is adding value to my life, this isn't. I could really do without that and it wouldn't actually make a difference to my life. And really by going into the finer detail once, and looking through it, try and identify. Now, this person sounds like it's incredibly tight and therefore they're going to find very little. But the reality is very little. If they can identify anything at all, it'll make a big difference to them. Mm-hmm. And just trying to get ahead for once.
Yeah, because as you say, the mental comfort that it'll give you to have a small buffer there is worth it if you can...
Yeah.
Try and save, you know, for a period of time to get that in place.
And the thing about it is we are much more likely, like I would suggest that someone in that position, I'm not going to put it on that individual, but someone in that position has probably gone without on a month-to-month basis.
Yeah.
But I bet their landlord hasn't. I bet you they have paid their rent on a month-to-month basis. And one of the things that they need to do is they need to try and find a way of treating themselves like they would somebody else. And what I mean by that is this buffer isn't me, it's somebody else. So I'm going to build this buffer and I'm going to build it as if it was for somebody else. Because by doing that, you're more likely to achieve it. The reality is that person's in a horrible position, but if their landlord comes along tomorrow and says, your rent is going up by €50 a month,
you'll find a way to do it.
They're going to find a way to do it. So you need to treat that €50 of the landlord for yourself. Like try and find that €50 or even €10 or even €20 anything at all.
So you're paying yourself. You're treating yourself like a creditor.
Absolutely. That's exactly what you're trying to do. And I do remember, and you won't be able to identify this person, but I do remember I was at a corporate speaking event, and actually it was a charity event. And somebody came up to me afterwards and said, and this was a couple of years ago, and they said, oh, when I heard you say something, I think it might have been on with you, I said something, right? I heard you say something a couple of weeks ago about saving. And what I had said at the time was, you're either a saver or you're not. Make a decision, right? And you're either in the habit or you're not. And nobody's a bad saver. You're just not in the habit of saving. And my advice at the time was, you need to just save anything. Like an amount that you, even if that person saved, the person we were talking about a minute ago, saved €1 a month for the next couple of months, right? But this person had heard this and I said, just start it small at a level you can absolutely afford and just turn up the volume on it on a regular basis. And they had actually heard me and you talking, I think 12 weeks before, and they said to me, I have savings for the very first time in my life, right? And they did explain to me that they had been very tight with money all their lives and they had savings for the very first time in their life. And I asked them, do you mind me asking you how much money you have? And she said €60, right? And that €60 she was more proud of than the person who has that 600,000 euros.
Because it makes you feel good.
It
you've
makes
done
her
it, yeah.
feel good. But the more important thing there is, she explained that she was taking control of her money for the first time, that she wasn't just trying to make it to the end of the week.
Yeah.
She was actually taking control. She was putting the start of a buffer in place. Mm-hmm. But she had achieved something financially. And like, I'm going to be honest with you, it was one of those things that really hit me, just how important it is just to change the mindset a little bit to say, if I can do anything, it's better than doing nothing.
Yeah. Our apps then, because there are some are out there, aren't
yeah.
there, that you can put your spending into, so you're keeping a track of everything.
Yeah.
Do you like those, or would you prefer us to do the Excel spreadsheet, which I think sounds a bit scary? But
yeah,
anyway.
There is something I think incredibly powerful, and I'm sure somebody else could come on, someone better qualified than me, can say, actually, there's something what you're saying there, Owen. But there's something for me about a pen and paper. Right, I think it just goes deeper into your brain when you write it down, and
yeah.
you have to, and with a physical pen and paper. I don't mean typing it into your phone, and I do think that that has to be the starting point for everybody. I think one of the most valuable things people can do, and I always say to people, if you don't want to pay for a financial planner, this is what you should be doing for yourself every year: take a pen and paper, put it into four squares, into four quadrants, and put everything you own, everything you owe, everything you earn, and everything you spend into each of the four squares. And just fill that out once, and you'd be shocked just how much of an impact it has when you see that piece of paper and you've thought about it. And then you're looking at, oh, that's my earnings and that's my spending. And okay, and now I have a complete picture on a pen. It's so simple. It's so straightforward, but it's actually empowering. And if you're really good at what you do is maybe you take a picture of it and you send it to yourself by email a year later. And repeat the exercise mm-hmm. again. And that's you taking control. You can go to the other extreme as well, Claire, where you've got lovely apps, like really great apps. And I'm not going to plug one, right? But there's some great apps where you wake up in the morning and it's downloaded all your transactions from yesterday's bank account. You can flick through it on the phone. You can say, that's groceries, that's entertainment, that's this. You'll have set up all your spending rules. Not only that, your partner is downstairs at the kitchen table while you're drinking your coffee in bed, and they're doing the same at the kitchen table, and it all comes together. And then you sit down once a week or once a month and you mm-hmm. say, okay, this is how we expected our money to go. This is how it actually
went.
Tell
us the name of the app.
YNAB.
YMAB.
YNAB. You need a budget.
Oh, YNAB. Right. Catchy name.
Now, what I would say about YNAB is... I can't believe that's the first time I've given a full on plug. I've nothing to do with YNAB,
well,
by the way.
It, so.
Absolutely nothing to do with them. I probably should, but because I do talk about it a lot. But one of the things I love about it is just the interaction with all your the integration with all your bank statements, but also the way they think about money is the same way I think about money. And I read they've a book as well. I read the book only a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
And it just lined up with my thinking.
There you go. And there's plenty of other apps as well. But listen, it's no harm to mention one or two of them. Owen, thanks so much for coming in. Always great to talk to you. We have a quick break to take before the news.